out that whenever you recite Kiddush and whenever you recite a bracha to be made to the other people, so the other people should only say Amen. You shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai. In fact, some are of the opinion that even B'di'evit, if he said Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai, that would constitute a hefsek and you would have to recite the bracha over again. That's how Moshe Feinstein wrote, the Chana Bracha wrote in his book, that if one wants to be used to Kiddush from someone else, that's the Rachan Kiyah Shoifa or whatever, and he says Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai, it's a hefsek and you have to repeat the bracha over again. Many other poskim disagree. They quote that in the Beis Medrash Agas Tam Sefer, they always used to say Baruch Hu V'Ruach Shemai. When the Baal Tekeh would say the bracha on Tzvi Shefer, when the Baal Kairi would say the bracha on Mishra Megillah, and if Tam Sefer wasn't Meicher, apparently he was of the opinion that it's not a hefsek. And other Rabbi Gedolim also were of the opinion that it's not a hefsek. But to go so far to say that even the Yevit, we're not yet say that's already that's a big chiddush. But Al Tipash, with Lachat Tzivah, at least Lachat Tzivah, we assume that it's not proper for everybody to enter both of Hashemah in the middle of the bracha, but you want to be a witness. You're going to say the bracha yourself. And it says in Shulchanat, as you say, Baruch Hu V'Shmo, when someone else says the Baruch. Rav Yosef printed a Haggadah many, many years ago, 25 years ago, he printed a Haggadah that made a big hit. And then it was reprinted, I think, several times after. So one of the famous pieces that he has in his Haggadah is about the Baruch Hu V'Shmo, Haggadah. Whenever the word is really getting, but whenever it comes at the end of the sentence, then you say Gotham, like you say Eretz, and when it comes at the end of the sentence, you say Oretz. So by this part, they have the practice of saying Baruch Hu HaGefen. So that's the same that I said to try to explain why they have that thing. But he quotes that somebody had told them, I don't know, the one who told them was not as famous as Rav Avadi Yosef. Some Talafakim had told them that the explanation is the following. That whenever one says a bracha for others, it depends whether he's saying Kiddush to be made the other people that he's saying for himself. So this Talafakim told Rav Avadi Yosef, when you say Kiddush for yourself, the meaning of it could be even by this part, that they should say Baruch Hu HaGefen. But when you're saying Kiddush for others, and they're going to enter Amen, and the Gemara says in Brachas, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you say a Bracha Baruch Hu HaGefen, you have to wait till after they say Amen before you drink the wine. Because they're entering Amen is considered a Gemar of your Bracha, and just like they're supposed to be Mechavim to your Bracha if they want to drink the wine, so you have to be Mechavim to their Amen also. Because the entering of Amen is part of your Bracha. That's what it says in the Gemara, and that's how Rashi explains that Gemara. That the Amen is part of the, is considered as it's part of the bracha, then the word gefen is not the last word of the sentence, so to speak, in a certain sense. But that's what he quotes, a sharp explanation of the Spardish meaning, but that's not, by the Ashkenazi, we don't have that meaning. Our meaning is that we say, Oripi Agrofen. In Yeshiva, there's one boy who got so excited about this explanation, he got so much, every Shabbos when he says Kiddush, he says Oripi Agrofen. Everybody laughs, because that's not our meaning. The Gemara in the end of Sochem points out that the Nusach HaBracha, the Chassima of the Bracha for Kiddush and for the Kedushas HaYom in the Shemona Esrei on Shabbos and on Yom Tov is different. That on Shabbos he just said Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. And on Yom Tov he said Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. Why this distinction? So the Gemara explains that Shabbos is Kaddish from the time of Sheshit Mei Bereishis. Like the Bracha created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And then he goes, Kaveya, that every seventh day should be Shabbos. It doesn't matter whether there are Jews on the scene or not. Even before the Jewish people emerged, even before Avraham Avinu was on the scene, Shabbos had a Kedushas HaYom. He just said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Kedushas HaShabbos. Hashem said, Yom Tov, Yom Tovim do not have a Kedusha on their own without the participation of the Bnei Yisrael creating the Kedusha. We have to have the Bezin, the Kaddish, the Rosh HaKadosh, and the Mela, determining when the Yom Tov is. Some are showing even explaining the Gemara in the end of Olam Basra. The Gemara says in Perek Yesh Nechon that the Moadei Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin for the Shittim Kubetzes quotes an interpretation from the Rabbeinu Hananel that it's not sufficient that Bezdin should declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and in the Mela we will know when Yom Tov will be. That Yom Tov will be, Pesach will be on the 15th, and so on. In addition to the Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, Bezdin has to declare on Pesach, today is Mekudesh Kedushas Pesach. And even today that we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Yom Tov is, but the Gemara still says that somehow the Jewish people participate in creating the Kedushas HaYom of the Rosh HaKadoshim and of the Yomim Tovim. Exactly how? That's the question. The Ramban is of the opinion that the Machlek is the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah, which is only the Mitzvah HaChodesh HaZalachem, that was Parshas HaChodesh, that we read on Shabbos. But the Ramban's opinion is that in the days of Hillel HaSheni, they declared which days will be Rosh HaKadoshim, which days will be Yom Tov, until Mashiach will come. Because they knew in the days of Hillel HaSheni that they're not going to have smicha, there won't be any continuation of smicha, there's going to be quite a hapsok until Mashiach is going to come. So they were koveya, they had a whole luach, a And they were kovei at that time that these days should be Rosh Chodesh and these days should be Yom Tov. So in effect, according to the Ramban, the understanding of what's going on, we have a Kiddush Beis Din on all the Yom Tovim and all the Rosh Chodeshim, and everything was declared by the Beis Din. Which year will be Hashanah Mubarak, which year will be Hashanah Pshuta. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that it's not that the Beis Din in the days of Hillel Hasheni with Mekadesh, all the Rosh Chodeshim and all the Yom Tovim, years in advance, and they determine which year should be Hashanah Mubarak, which should be Hashanah Pshuta. How could they do that? The Chabad Hashanah Bali Yerlam. I mean, a Beis Din 1500 years ago declared that Shnat Tavshin Mem Tes is going to be a Shana Mubarak and the Rosh Chodesh is going to be on this day. You can't even declare a Dovah Shlo Bali Yerim. His mom didn't even come yet. If you're holding him back year, you can declare this year is a Shana Mubarak. If today is Rosh Chodesh, if today is the day, supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, you can say, we hereby declare that today is Rosh Chodesh. How can you declare years in advance which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. And he said that it's not that the Beis Din in the days of Hillel Hasheni was Kovei in advance. It's rather that the Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's what he writes, the Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, today, in the days of Ram, there weren't so many Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, maybe a larger number of Jews. So the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who are making the Rosh Chodeshim into Rosh Chodesh and making the Yom Tovim into Yom Tovim by their Nihuk, by their being noted. If this day is Rosh Chodesh and that day is Yom Tov, then you have made them into Rosh Chodesh and into Yom Tov. Then the Ram adds on a line in the Sefer Mitzvot, and it says the Kuf Nun Gimel. The famous line that the Achenim discussed, that Mimeiz and many others, the Ram writes, and if Chas V'Chalila, one would visualize that there wouldn't be any Jews in Eretz Yisrael who would be observing Rosh Chodesh, or Yom Tov, even if there would be Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but they wouldn't be observing. And they wouldn't be koveya which day should be Rosh Chodesh and which day should be Yom Tov, then the whole system of the calendar would collapse. So we would continue to have Shabbat, but there wouldn't be any Rosh Chodesh and there wouldn't be any Yom Tov. So the fact that we still maintain today the observance of Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov is due to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. But they are noyig, and Rosh Chodesh, that is Rosh Chodesh, and I'm Yom Tov, that is Yom Tov. So in effect, the Gemara says, in effect, the Kedushas Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tovim is determined by the Jewish people. So that's why we recite the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, the Kaddish Yisrael, the Rosh Chodeshim, when the davening on Rosh Chodesh, when the davening on Yom Tov, when the Kiddush on Yom Tov, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, the Kaddish Yisrael, the Hazman, and because HaKadosh Baruch is the Kaddish Yisrael, who in turn, on the Kaddish Hazman. Hashem came Shabbos, we have nothing to do. Kedusha Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, when he created the world, established by Baruch Hashem and Yom Hashvi, by Kaddish Hashem, he was Mekaddish all the Shabbos and way in advance. So the Mefarshim point out on the Siddur that that's why the Nisuch of the Kiddush on Yom Tov doesn't begin the same as the Nisuch of the Kiddush on Shabbos. On Shabbos it says, Shekir Hashanah v'Mitzvah, it's like a Birchat HaMitzvah. Shekir Hashanah v'Mitzvah, it's like having Birchat HaMitzvah. On Yom Tov, we have to first declare that we are declaring it as a Yom Tov. We have to make it into Yom Tov. I mean, according to the Rambam's opinion that is. According to the Ramban, it has already been declared as a Yom Tov many years ago by Hillel Hasheni. According to the Rambam, we today are declaring it as Yom Tov. Even according to the Ramban, that it already has been declared, we still start off with the bracha, HaShadacha Bonu Mikolam. That there was a Bechirat Yisrael, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled us out, and he gave us the power of HaKadosh HaZalachem, the ability to be Mekadosh Kadoshim, and to be Mekadosh Yom Tov, and that's why Vatita Lanu is Chag HaMatzot HaZeh. He gave us the Yom Tov after first choosing us, and giving us the ability to be Mekadosh Zman, he gave us the Yom Tov. It's interesting that he used the expression Bahaban Mikolam Ramamana Mikol Lashon. Lashon means a nation. Lashon also means a tongue. Lashon means a language. So why did he use that Lashon? Why did he use that expression over here? Ramamana Mikol Lashon. It's just a repetition of Bahaban Mikolam. But it's Hasemis and his Jewish state on Chumash suggests the following explanation. It's interesting. The Gemara has in the end of Shabbos. And I gotta say, well, one of the Amorim asks the other, on what does the world stand? What keeps up the world? So what's keeping, who's learning is keeping up the world? Harshir here in KJ, or someone who's learning? But Amorim says, it's Tinoi Kishol Beis Rabbi, the little children and Cheder who are learning. So Abai asks, I think, Rabbi Yosi, what about my Torah, and what about your Torah? Only the Tinoi Kishol Beis Rabbi. So the Rebbe Rabbi Yosef answers no, that the Torah that the Talmidim and the Cheder learn is much more pure, because they haven't soiled their mouth with Machlokes, with Lashon Hara, with Tinas Chinam, with Brachos L'Atala, with Nivol Peh, whatever, Lashon Hara, Mechilas, whatever people use their mouth for improperly, soils their mouth. And the Mele, when they learn, when older people learn Torah, so their Torah is not as pure as the Torah that the little children learn. So the Sfasemet has such a comment over here as well. He says that the Ramamana we call Lashon, we refer to the Jewish people as a nation, and we refer also as a nation using the term Lashon to signify that we want to be Mekadosh Zman. HaKadosh is Alachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to create the Kedushas Yontes. Not Kedushas Shabbos and Kodesh Me'ir, but to create the Kedushas Yontes and to create the Kedushas Rosh HaKadoshim. So we mentioned that we would think about as a Jewish people, who are more we call Lashon, not just as a people. Lashon Taka as a Lashon, as the ability to speak. So we should be careful, Taka, to maintain pure speech so that when we want to be Mekadosh, the Yadim Tovim with our Lashon, I'm saying the Kiddush HaKadosh and so on, it should be a proper Kiddusha. On the second day Yom Tov this year, we're going to be saying Havdalah as well. The Gemara makes a big fuss about that. How do you recite all of the prophets in what order? So the Gemara gives you the Rashi Tevis, is Yachnahad, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah's Mom. So we recite the Borei Mi'ori Ho'esh. Many have the meaning that when you recite, the Gemara says in the end of Brachas, that L'chatzchila is preferable to use an Avukah. So we say the bracha Borei Mi'ori Ho'esh on the Tzoyi Shabbos. And Avukah means that you have a torch. So that's why we usually use a special Havdalah candle that has many wicks on top and the flames all blend in together. What if you have two single candles that are near each other and the flame doesn't blend in together? Does that constitute an Avukah or not? So it says Mehilchah Shechita of all places. It says Mehilchah Shechita that's an Avukah. Why is it Mehilchah Shechita? Because there is a Gemara in Chumen that L'chatzchila you're not permitted to shech b'layla because it's dark. So you don't see what you're doing here, you're going to make it an Avela. Unless you have an Avukah and you're shechting near the Avukah, so then it's okay. You have the light on, night on, it's the end of the daytime, so you can shech at night. So what's the definition of an Avukah? So you have a Kivega there, and Hilchah Shechita, Koske Achreidim, who say that Avukah doesn't necessarily have to be the way we have a Havdalah candle with all of the wicks so close that the flame is blending to be one gigantic light. Then if you have two single candles that are near each other, you have one candle on one end of the room, one candle on the other end of the room, that's not called an Avukah. But if they're near each other and it causes an additional amount of light, then that's also considered an Avukah. It's permitted L'chatzchila to Shech Kalayla, the Yor Avukah. So the same is on Matzoh Shabbos. The minute is that you blend the two candles in together, but speaking, if you don't want to, you don't have to. So on Yom Tov, Shacharis, and Matzoh Shabbos, then you have the minute that when you recite, and then once in Yeshiva, Matzoh Shabbos, the Bochum didn't know how to say God in the other way. Like you shouldn't. Yeah. One of the days of Rosh Hashanah, I was on Matzoh Shabbos, I was eating in Yeshiva. They didn't know how you're supposed to have both. They said, just take the two candles. They didn't remember from the mother's home. You take the two candles and you say, burn your ash. The only question is whether you blend the two together. And that's what she used to say over that. Many Achronim have such a mimic, in Europe they have such a mimic, that you don't blend the flames in together on Yom Tov. You just leave the two candles the way they are, near each other. So, Nikaradim, that constitutes another. So, what's the Kseder? And the Lubavitcher Hagadah is also called like that. The Lubavitcher meaning that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is always was that they wouldn't blend the two flames in together. What's the status? The Atzoreitchik, I remember, used to say that it's Havara Shalom Atzoreit. That on Yom Tov, if you want to commit it to do a Malacha, if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, so you don't do it. For here, if the candles are burning well anyway, so why should you make a bigger flame by doing a Havara unnecessarily if you can say the Bracha Baron Arish the way it is? Others write that they don't think that it's a Havara Shalom Atzoreit, they write think that it's a Kibui Shalom Atzoreit, because if you're going to have the two candles together, some of the wax is going to drip down. And if you lose some of your wax, then the candle is going to burn a shorter amount of time. So the time that it's Kibui Shalom Atzoreit, whatever it is, either it's Havara Shalom Atzoreit or the opposite of Kibui Shalom Atzoreit, the meaning was in many communities, and in many communities they had the meaning that they did. When Yom Tov falls on the Tzoreit Shabbos, they would put the two candles together and blend them together. In many communities they were not put the Dafkei Nasim. Many folks can hold that you can use an incandescent bulb if it's not for us to drive. If it's a clear bulb, you can use that for burning your hash also. I'm a Tzoreit Shabbos, right. So then it would be preferable, let's say when it's younger, it would be preferable not to go out of your way. Unless you bench looks anyway. Bench lift from a hot candle down the table. But the light candle, especially in order to be able to save garment away, so that's not right. If you have an electric bulb that you can use, you should use that. I mean, when you bench lift, when a woman benches lift, so she shouldn't bench lift in a room that's totally lit. No. So Abdullah, you can have a light that is burning the whole time, that's not a problem. No, when you light
the candle off, and you have to shut it off,
and then you put it on again, because you have a candle. No. In order to say a brother, Lahalik Nershal Shabbos, Lahalik Nershal Yantis, that says in the Tarsus, and it's called in Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a dark room, and turn on the light, the light the candles in such a way that it illuminates the room. But if the room is all this anyway, it's flooded with light from the lamp on top, and then just going to light the candles, so that's a big problem. How do you, there's no tosefes over. So you can't turn off the lights on Yom Kippur. You have to mention it in a different room. You have to light candles in a different room. No, notice they had the contrast between the darkness and the light. No, that's for drama. You go ahead and you don't need that. In the biography of Rabbi Avraham Wasserman, they write that he was once in London raising money for Yiddish Yidin Baranovich. So he's staying by Achsidah Shehid, I think at Dover or something, he's staying by Achsidah Shehid on the Shabbos. And then on the Sarah Shabbos, they're about to say Abdullah. And so the Achsidah Shehid had all the lights on and they had a candle, they're going to say Abdullah. So Rabbi Avraham Wasserman said that by him and the Yeshiva, they were makfir, that they would turn off the lights first and they would only have the flames, so everybody would be able to be known. The city she didn't take the insight, because by us the meaning is not funny this one guy. We have the meaning that we leave the life, and he didn't take this. He didn't take his recommendation. It's interesting that on Rav Eshi said he remembers when he was once in Vilna that on Matzoi Shabbos that Rav Chaim Eizer would be Mahadev, the Dabsit to recite Dori in the Ori Hoesh on an electric bulb to Dabsit and not on a regular Havdalah candle. Because the Maharsham, who was one of the Gedolei Apostolim 100 years ago, writes in his tshuva that turning on electric bulbs on Shabbos was only a melacha of the Rabbonim. He thinks that it's not a melacha of Havdalah ben Atzeret. Now, Chaim Eizer writes in his statement that he thinks that that's wrong. He doesn't write in his statement. He's quoted this thing. He's quoting a saying that he thinks that that's an issue of their rights. So notice the stress that he felt that it was Eish, 100% Eish, that if you turn on electric bulb, you're violating Havdalah, so he would go out of his way to say, Baruch Yoy Ho Eish. And the Torah Shabbos over an electric bulb. He quotes also that Rav Chaim Rivka, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also. Rav Soloveitchik didn't mention that, but in Florian, they quote that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would also recite Dvar Me'Oreish on electric bulbs. Another person holds that he can't. Maybe Feinstein, another holds that he can't. But many hold that he may. The new stuff that we recite in the Havdalah usually is Hamavdin Mekodesh Lechol. And when Yom Tov falls out on the Torah Shabbos, then we recite the Dvar Hamavdin Mekodesh Lechodesh. It's important to keep in mind. We shouldn't think that all of life is so simple because there's just Kodesh and Chol, and everything that's Kodesh belongs in the same boat. That's not so. There are Chilukim within Kodesh Gufa. There's Kodesh Chomer and Kodesh Kap. Such detailed Chilukim, the Gemara even says that the Ketara has more Kedusha than Tfilin, Tfilin has more Kedusha than Mezuzah, the Gemara is within Tfilin. The Tfilin Shal Rosh has more Kedusha than the Tfilin Shal Yad. Even though the Ketara has more Kedusha than the Tefillin that we understand has more parshiyos, and the Tefillin has more kedusha than the mezuzah has more parshiyos. But the Shal Rosh has more kedusha than the Shal Yad because it has a shin on the outside, and because of the gilos. So the Gemara goes into such detailed madregas of kedusha. Well, what's that one thing Gemara does say? There's kodesh and there's chol. So that's what Rebbeinu wants to explain. You couldn't say like that because everything really in the world is kodesh. If the Rebbeinu Shlom was kodesh, he created the world. So like the Mishnah says in the first parak in Chorus, Hayotzim and Atohor, is tohor. If you have a kosher animal, give that milk. So the milk is kosher. If you have a kosher bird, lays an egg. So the egg is kosher. So Yotzei Min HaKadosh is also kosher. But as God created the world, from some everything that he created also has kedusha. Except that there are different levels of kedusha. So we call everything that has a very low level of kedusha, we call chol. But really everything has kedusha. It's a low level of kedusha. If the kedusha is more obvious and more apparent, then we call it kodesh. So everything in the world is not that anything is called. Everything is Kodesh Chomer versus it's Kodesh Kal. So that's what tips off the Chachamim in the Gemara, that you have to look for all the different levels of Kedusha in the world. And it's important to keep in mind the hierarchy of Kedusha. What's more important than what? I like to say always on Pascal. He writes in one of his books, Palm Sense. He writes that someone can have a tiny against me that I wasn't Mechadish, and he wrote a book on philosophy. He says, someone can have a tiny. I didn't say anything original. Every idea that I have is printed in another book. Every idea appears already in another book. So he says it's not a tiny. You can have the same tiny against the poet who writes beautiful poetry, and you can find it that every word that he wrote appears in a dictionary. So what's the Kiddush? And the Kiddush is what's the name. The Kiddush is the arrangement of the word. They put this word first, and that word second, this word third. And it comes out like this, so that's the Kiddush. He says the same is true in ideas. Even if you subscribe to the same 1,000 ideas that I subscribe to, you have a whole different system. You put this idea on top and that idea on the bottom and this one in the middle, and I have everything completely rearranged, the same 1,000 ideas, but in a different arrangement, in a different arrangement, in a different sequence. So then it gives a whole different picture, an overall picture, and it gives every idea different acts for different meanings. But that's what he says about his philosophy book as opposed to others. He's repeating ideas that appear in everyone else's book, But the arrangement of the ideas present a different notion. That's the same over here. Amabdin de Kodesh with Kodesh, it's important to, we all subscribe to all the Tayyat mitzvahs. You have to know which mitzvahs are more important than others. Some people hold that Medinah Shor is the biggest mitzvah in the Torah, and you can forget about Shabbos and Kashrus and Tayyat and Shkoch and Medinah Shor is the end of everything. And other people feel that Medinah Shor is all the way on the bottom. You have all the Tayyat mitzvahs there, right? And all the Zinim Drabon, and all the Minhagim, and everything, and all the mirrors. And after you fulfill all the Minhagim, then Medinah Shor is on the bottom. And other people have a proper perspective. The Medinah Shor is in the middle there. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, and you have to have the proper perspective. Same is the true as far as all the mitzvahs. I can go all the mitzvahs. You have to have everything within perspective. On Pesach night, the Tanoim wanted to encourage Kiddush Yishalo HaTinoket. They wanted to encourage that the children should ask a lot of questions. So normally when you recite Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush B'machim Tzudah, you have to eat right away. On Pesach night also you require Kiddush B'machim Tzudah. It's a mistake that a lot of people make, not a lot of people, sometimes also I know in my community, I live in a Columbia Presbyterian hospital, so a lot of times people's wives have babies in the hospital, so they make Kiddush and they have half the Haggadah, they have the next half the Seder at home, and they go to the hospital to finish the rest of the Seder there. So the dinner says, they say Kiddush here, and they're going to eat the matzah over there, so that's not Kiddush B'machim Tzudah. People don't think about it, because you don't say Hamotzi until half an hour later. But that, on Pesach night, that's considered Kiddush B'machim Tzudah. On a Friday night, it wouldn't be Kiddush B'machim Tzudah. Friday night, you're supposed to see his neighbors that be matzah with anything in between the Kiddush and the Hamotzi. On Pesach night, that was the Takana Chachamim, that you should say all of this, but not, or anything else that blends into the Haggadah. It's something smooth about other things, that whole conversation, even where there's no Issa Hefzik. There's not an Issa Hefzik every step of the way. In the middle of saying a bracha, there's an Issa Hefzik. But there are spots where there's no Issa Hefzik, but still you're not supposed to have long conversations because you require Kiddush B'machim Tzudah. So on Pesach night, we don't start eating right away. We dip the carpus into salt water, Kiddush Yishalo HaTinoko. And in order to be able to dip the carpets into salt water, the Gemara says that whoever is going to dip in has to wash until it's done. What's that all about? The Gemara explains that this is a takana satanayim, that whenever you eat some fruits or vegetables that are moist on the outside, they were rinsed off, let's say you're eating grapes or apples, that are rinsed off and they're still wet on the outside, so there is a Zera de Rabban that was one of the 18 Zeras, which the Gemara says in the first prayer from Masechet Shabbos, Beishamayad voted to Sila, and Yudchez there, and Yudchez Zohar. One of them was a Samya Daim Shneer thing. But the hand, unless a person just came out of the mikvah, just washed until it's done, the hands are always considered Tanayim to the extent of a Sheni Rutum. And then there's another Xavier de Rabbanon that if a hand with only a Sheni is a din, if the hand touches Truma, it's a Pasos of Truma. The Truma can become a Shlishi. And then the Tanay made another Xavier, whatever Pasos Truma, if the person, let's say his hand, if he would touch his hand to Truma, it was possible to Truma, he wouldn't be permitted, he wouldn't be permitted to eat that Truma, or Kutchin, so if he touches water, any one of the Zayin Mashkin, so that Mashkin becomes a Rishon Lutumah, becomes more tummy than the hand. The hand is only a Sheni Lutumah, so the cloud was whatever part of Truma would be Metamei Mayim to become a Tchila, to become a Rishon Lutumah. If the water will become a Rishon Lutumah, then the grapes on which the water, the droplets of water appear, will become a Sheni Lutumah. So it will become a Sheni Lutumah. So then if you're going to eat it, you will become Tumah. So you'll become Tumah. So the world's not going to come to an end. So you will become Tumah. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that was posed a problem. People wanted to be Tahar in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, in order to eat Shuma, in order to eat Kutchim. People had to be Tahar. So if it's Man HaMikdash, this would be a problem. So there was a Takana Satanayim that you have to wash the Tilat Yadayim with the Bracha Shekrishan Tachana Tilat Yadayim. Before you would be about to eat the davish at the root of the mashke, so that when you would touch the mashke on the outside of the tree, you won't be in the tamer yet, so the mashke won't be in the time of the yochel, and you're eating the yochel, won't be in the tamer yet. That's another day of the Rabban, that whoever eats yochel tamayim and drinks mashke tamayim becomes tamer. That's called tumas agriya, tumas aguf. That they're eating, and I tell you, there is no such thing. That if a person eats yochel that is tamer, his body becomes tamer. How can yochel and the mashke be in the tamer? And I think it doesn't exist. But the Rabban, they make such exam. It's all in the first prayer from Masechet Shabbos. The Tosfos has an achlokes with the Rambam that it has been applied to Zman Hazeh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Gemara seems to say that there is a Takana Satanah, so it's been applied to Zman Hazeh. Aye, the whole reason for the Takana doesn't apply. We're all Tanayim Eitim anyway. Everybody went to a funeral at some time or another. And even Kohanim, who only go to relatives, even if it's a young Kohen, never went to a relative's funeral yet. He must become in contact with somebody else who went to a funeral. Everybody's Tanayim Ben Kovakov. So the Rambam says, even though the reason for the Takana doesn't make any sense to Zman Hazeh, but Kafkis and Chachamim, that before eating a davish at Zulu Mashke, you have to wash your hands and say a bracha, all the tilas are done. And that's how there's only going past. You have to wash with a bracha before eating a davish at Zulu Mashke. and the let's say you want to dip the a piece of cookie in some coffee. Some of those are the mashke. Or if you want to eat apples or fruits that are moist, and the one dried off, that's a double shit of the mashke. And Tyson disagrees with the Rambam, and Tyson says that this takana only applies in man to the people in Israel on Tumah Dabar, but there's man there that everybody's tummy anyway. So the whole takana doesn't make any sense. So you don't have to wash it off. It's permitted to eat the double shit of the mashke, but man there without washing it off. So because of this dispute, whether this takana the Rabbanan applies to man there, that's why we make this akhra. So we wash without a bracha, because according to Tyson's opinion, you don't even have to wash it off. So you can leave out. It's not Kaddish Ruchas Kaddish, it's Kaddish Kaddish, so there is no Ruchas. Because it didn't have Ruchas. And according to the Rambam, it's not just Ruchas, it's the same as Ruchas, so you got to wash with a bracha. Shekhar Hashem says, oh no, I'm going to go say that. So because Tyson's opinion is that you don't have to wash it all, so if you say a bracha, it'll be a bracha a lot taller, so we pass, we start the bracha for Akhil, you leave out the bracha and you wash without a bracha. That's the question, what do we do all year long? What about today, if you want to eat some fruits or vegetables that are rich stuff, so you also have to wash without a bracha. So the Taz, in his commentary on Hilchos Pesach, points out that on Pesach night, everybody knows you have to wash with davar shetzivuv b'mashke. So he says, mikan tochachas megula, from here you see that all year long we do wrong, that people always eat fruits or vegetables that are dipping cookies into milk or into coffee or tea, and they don't wash before eating the davar shetzivuv b'mashke. So he says that it's not right. When you eat, let's say, Cheerios or Wheaties, then it says, you don't have to wash, because you always eat it with a spoon. So you don't plan at all to dip your finger into the mashke. But if you're eating, let's say, if you're dipping a cookie into the coffee, and you may dip your finger in too far, so then you have to wash, even though you don't plan to dip your fingers into the coffee. But eating breakfast cereal, since the normal way is to eat it with a spoon, so then you don't have to, then for sure you don't have to wash. But let's say if you're eating fruits that are in store, and in order to spare yourself the trouble of washing, you're going to eat it with a fork and a knife. You're going to be careful to cut up the apple with a fork and a knife and not to touch it. Because then Shulchan Aruch doesn't help. The only time you can avoid washing for davar shetzivuv b'mashke is if the derech is to eat it with a spoon. Like a cereal. The derech is to eat it with a spoon. Gloves is also not right. It's also not right to avoid the takana come by wearing gloves. The Gemara has it in that if a person is so far away from water and wants to eat a sandwich and he's starving, and it's going to take him a long, long time until he comes to civilization and is going to have water, so then, it's not people think that if you have the sandwiches wrapped up in a piece of paper, it's sufficient. So the Shulchan Aruch, that's not good enough. If the hands are wrapped up in gloves, if the hands are wrapped up, then we allow you to eat the bread without missing the Kajam. If you're not inclined or something like that, you don't have any water available. But the Lachatkin is not right. If you have water easily available, then you're not supposed to rely on the gloves. So what? Davar shetzivuv b'mashke. So the Taz says, oh, so that's the shaila. That's the shaila. So here, the article of our brother, they explain, says on the roof house, the head of the household, and then it says, according to many opinions, all participants in the Seder, wash their hands, and this is where it got to each bread. So this is getting a machlokes in our friend, who has to wash before karpas. Karpas, everybody eats karpas. Who has to wash in advance? So some early achrenim write the minhag that many yekkes have in my community. A lot of yekkes have that minhag, but only the father of the household washes and the other people don't wash. Because it's only a zeche to the way things were in the days of the Beit HaMikdash. But it's not that we're machran that should rule in the mashke. You hold mikra, then you don't have to wash. And apparently in Eastern Europe, they never heard of such a thing. The Taz writes, everybody used to wash. They held lunch the second day. And he says that it's a riot that everybody should wash without shit through the mask, and all year long, the proper thing is that you should wash without a breath. You always wash without a breath.
What if you get a strip
of
food off now
and
not
eat
it until it's dry?
Yes, then you don't have to wash. You don't have to wash. Even though you were just in the time of it. You were just in time of the water, there wasn't just in time of the fruit. But that was the takana sacham, that you don't have to wash without a breath.
You
were
saying 2 years ago that the Rambam said that you're supposed to wash when you do the fruit.
The Gemara says that one washes for Peiros, Harezim Nigatse Haruah. Then it's an act of arrogance. You're not allowed to wash the fruit. Unless the fruits are moist, because they were just washed off. That is the Dovish of the Ruah Namashka. The Gemara says you have to wash for the Bruch before eating the fruit. See that? Yeah. Right. So the Shaila is, are you going to dry it off before you eat or not? So if you didn't dry it off, then the Taz claims that all year long we should observe the din that's written in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam. The Rambam says that we say a bracha. And those should be mashke. The only one Taz is mamish like the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say straight like the Rambam. It says that you should wash without a bracha. And every dog should be a little
bit. You don't have to wash this turn with a cup three times, right?
Right. Like before bread. At least that's a very sharp stuff. You wash your hands and you do that. You wash like bread. You wash twice over here. They tell over the story about the Yeshuvanik, that he was about to wash before carpet, so he said, Asher Kedushan says to the Tivonik. That's all. So the kid asked him, what do you do? So he said, there's a fish. You wash and you don't say, I'm going to do it today. So every year I say over in the Yeshiva that the Talmidim should know what the din is, that it doesn't mean that. It means that you don't say a brach at all. It's not that you say the whole brach up until two hours. It's a profound joke. Yeah. Then the Mishnah says that you have to have some yirokas. The Magen Avraham says yirokas are green vegetables. That's what he says. Even though if you say barfi adam, you can say barfi adam on a tomato, you can say on a banana, you can say on a potato also, but the Magen Avraham says it should be a green vegetable. Who says that it should be karpas? That's what it says in Rashi and Haggadah. Kadesh, this comes from Rashi. Kadesh, Uchas, Karpas, Yachas, Haggadah, Mamiyam, Barman, Ramah, and quotes that from Rashi. He was the one who instituted this Seder. So the word Karpas comes from Rashi, from the Gaon. What is a Karpas? What vegetable is a Karpas? We've got to know a little Arabic. So the Chasam Sefer writes in Shulah that his Rebbe, Rav Nachman Adler, was very interested in knowing what the original Karpas was. What did the Gaon use as Karpas? So he asked people who came from the Middle East, and they told him that the word carpet in Arabic means celery. So he was always marked to use after celery for their carpet. So the Kedegi quotes the Yerushalmi that for Yerokus, and the Mishnah says, Mishnah Yidmar never says it means carpet, it's a lesson that the Rishonim have. So going in the Rishonim say carpet. And they give a simon that it's the Shishim Rebo did avoid as Peret. So the word carpet is a simon of Samach Peret. So making simonim and an Arabic name of a vegetable. The word doesn't appear in the Gemara, the word karpas. It's an Arabic word. I don't understand why they felt compelled to make such simonim on an Arabic word. Some because Rashi and Red included it into the Haggadah. I don't know. So when Kilegar on this theme in the Shulchan Aruch, when it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you should use vegetable instead of Berkei Adama, the Magen Avraham says that it should be green, so the Kilegar quotes the Yerushalmi that it says they should use such razor. That's why many have them in it to use parsley. But if you use a potato, it's also good. When you say the bracha bari, pri ha'adama, so the Tosafot says you should have in mind to cover with this bracha the maror as well, because there is a dispute among the Balei HaTosafot when you eat the maror in the middle of the meal, is that covered with hamotzi? Normally when you say hamotzi, you eat a whole meal, so whatever you eat, whatever is v'am abayim achim tassud, is covered with the bracha of hamotzi, you don't require another bracha. Here on Tosafot night, the question is that which normal person has to eat horseradish? If you want to eat horseradish, you want to eat romaine lettuce, let's say romaine lettuce, or whatever, endives, whatever people eat. Most people normally wouldn't eat this in the middle of the meal. So they're stuck on Pesach night. They have to eat it. Let's say a person in the middle of the meal wants to have a lachaim to drink schnapps. So you don't say that the schnapps is covered with amos. The schnapps is not brahma, brahma, machin, tassudis. You have to say, no, Pesach night. Schnapps is lachaim. All year long, a person, someone got engaged, had a baby, got married, whatever, want to drink a lachaim in the middle of the meal. If you drink wine, the gemara, you have to say, brah, 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 instead. That's the gemara, that brah, 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 is not covered with amos. What if you're drinking schnapps? So theoretically, schnapps should be covered with amos. The only thing that is not bama by machna chasudim. So then you would have to, if it's a post, then you might have to say a shahakal separately on the schnapps. So the machlokes in Akreinim, if you have schnapps, here's the fish. The meaning is that whenever you have fish, before you have flesh, you have schnapps in between. So that's the machlokes in Akreinim, is that called bama by machna chasudim? Because that's the meaning, that you always have schnapps in between fish and meat. So somehow that's called machna chasudim. Machlokes, the kids should not be somebody else. I think the bala machabe kids should not say that it's not called bama by machna chasudim. You have to say a separate shahakal on that shmach. And other rachayim say no. Since that's the menu, it's always the menu by from a yidin, that they have shmach in between the fish and the meat. So that is called vama vama machna chasud. But that's the yaitzik on shmach. What about a Pesach night, eat maror, which doesn't really fit into the rest of the meal? You say, well, you see, so let's get down to eating the meal. So people aren't interested in eating these endives, and he says, it's romaine lettuce. The hot rat is certainly not interested in eating. So maybe, so you only have to eat it because it's a mitzvah on Pesach night. So since it doesn't fit in with the rest of the meal, the one thing in the Pesach is that you have to say, you really want to say both you have done. But because of the technicality, Pesach puts up the Yosef Pesach, because of the technicality, we are unable to recite both you have done prior to eating the maror. So we say the both you have done when we have the karpas, and we have in mind that this should cover the Baruch Adama of the Morer is wrong. What's the technicality? What's wrong? Why can't you say Baruch Adama? The place is close to the Yosef Tei Velem. What are you going to say? Two brachas before you eat the Morer. Baruch Adama, then you're going to say Allah Hiyas Morer. That's a violation of Eino Eta Mitzvah Chavilah Chavilah. And you can't recite two brachas on the same piece of vegetable. How we do it all the time, you say Hamotzi Lachman Ares and Allah Hiyas Matzah. He says, no, you have two matzahs. You have a shleima and a tusa. Hamotzi Lachman Ares goes on the shleima and Allah Hiyas Matzah goes on the tusa. But you don't say two brachas on one piece. But you have to say Baruch Adama on the Morer. He says, in order to solve that problem, you say Baruch Adama before the Karpas. You have a mind to cover the Morer. The other opinion of Tosis is that it's not going to work, that it's not so, and it's not going to work. It's not so because on Pesach night, even if you personally are not interested in eating the horseradish, or you're not really hungry for endog, but since the Torah says, Amat Tanram Yachlu, you have to eat it, so the halacha says that tonight, that's part of the meal. That's on the menu. Tonight, it's brought out by Machmas HaSura. Tosis in Brachas and Tosis in Tzachon has two versions of this. One version of Tosis is that the vegetable blends into the meal in a normal fashion. The other version of Tosis is not that it's blend into the meal. Normally, the halacha says that it blends into the meal. Then on Pesach night, it's declared as part of the meal. Whichever it is, Pesach presents this opinion that you don't have to say Baruch HaDomo before you eat the Morer. And they say that and if you would have to say Baruch HaDomo, the bracha that you recite before the carcass wouldn't help to cover the Morer because it's going to take such a long time in between the carcass and the Morer, it will be a Hesach Adah. And the other opinion is, I told you that's not a Hesach Adah. You know now, when you say the bracha Baruch HaDomo in the carcass, if you're going to have more later, you say, there is a Hesach Adah. So because of this dispute, it says in the Shulchan Aruch the following. You should go the Chumrah in both directions. So when you say the bracha Baruch HaDomo, everybody should have in mind, and the one who's saying the Haggadah should say it. Everybody should have in mind now, when you say Baruch HaDomo, that this is going to cover also the Morer that they're going to eat later on after the Matzah. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that you shouldn't eat the Kezayim of Karpas. Some people are so starved, they're so hungry. Even though they ate by the Seim Chorus in the morning, but they're still hungry. So they start eating a lot of potatoes, whatever, they fill themselves up before the meal. But that's not right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to eat Kezayim because it will be a stuffing story in the portion. So they should say Bracha Achrayin on that. If the Baruch HaDomo that you recite before the carpet covers the Morer as well, then you don't say Baruch HaKadosh is after eating the carpet. You didn't finish eating yet. You plan to eat more vegetables in the middle of the meal. And the Birchas HaMorgen at the conclusion of the meal will cover both the carpet and the Morer. If you all, however, that there is a Hesach Adah, like the other opinion cases, then if you would really eat a Kezayis of carpet, so then you should have to say Baruch HaKadosh after the carpet, because the eating of the Morer later will not be a continuation of the eating of the carpet now. Because of this dispute, no, let's say a person has a cup of tea, then he says, this is almost, he doesn't cover. It only covers like this. If I have a cup of tea, then I decide I want to eat. And then I have to have tea in the middle of the meal also. Since the tea in the middle of the meal will be covered by the Birchas HaMozim, and the tea in the middle of the meal is the hemshech of the tea before the meal, but then the Birchas HaMozim covers everything. Then you have to say Baruch HaKadosh before, or Alam Nisya, whatever happens to be, and then wash and start the meal. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you should have a little wine in the middle of the meal because of this consideration. And even those who don't, even though they don't have a little wine in the middle of the meal, we assume that since you require Kiddush from Mokhmi students, because the Kiddush is really part of the Siddur. Even though you drank the wine before you had Amaisi, it's also considered part of the Siddur. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend L'chatchila that you shouldn't have a Kezayis of Karpa. The Rambam of the Aruch HaZoker writes that when you have Karpa, you should have a Kezayis. Why? Apparently he thinks that the Chachamim are Misak and that this is one of the Mitzvot Hachim on Leil Pesach. For whatever reason they're Misak. The Misak is Kedesh Yishalo HaTinochos, in order that the children should maintain their interest throughout the reciting of Hagadah. They shouldn't fall asleep. Whatever it is, but they're Misak and that you should eat Karkas, so you have to eat it because I have Karkas. That's what it seems from the Rambam. However, on the bottom of the Rambam, the Hagadah, it's not really quoted in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, that he says there's a misprint in the Rambam. He says if you look later when the Rambam writes, that you eat matzah, and then he writes that you eat morer, so by matzah he writes, you eat a kezayis matzah. By morer he says, you say the brach alach this morer, he doesn't say it, you eat a kezayis morer. Isn't there something fishy over here? By karpas he writes that you have to eat a kezayis. By matzah he says you have to eat a kezayis. By morer he doesn't write you have to eat a kezayis. So the Haggadah Tanami quotes in the name of the Maharam Rukmer, so we think that there's a misprint, that line that says in the Rambam, that you should eat a kezayis karpas really belongs later by the morer. That you should eat a kezayis morer. But the Rambam would also agree that you don't have to eat a Kazayis Karpas, and therefore the Maharam recommends that you shouldn't. So that you shouldn't eat a Kazayis Karpas because of this Matle. Nope. So those who know the din should be medactive, not to eat a Kazayis Karpas. Some of the people are talking hungry, but it's not right to go give them a hard time telling them that they're not allowed to eat a Kazayis. There is a machlokes among the Rishonim whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasebo or not. Not the same as Rishonim, it's not Rashi and Pesach, they have a drum with the Sefer HaMaaseh against the Shibboleth HaLekech, it's the Rishonim that we usually don't look in when we study Gemara. But they have a dispute whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasebo or not. So some Achronim recommend that you should eat karpas twice, in order to be able to know the opinion. But you shouldn't eat a Kazayis Kolila, otherwise you're going to get involved in the Sahih Brahma. They're saying, eat a tiny bit of Hasebo, eat a little bit of Shloba Hasebo, no. That's quite a chumash. There is also a shayla in Rishonim and in Achronim. Let's say one person is reciting the Haggadah on behalf of all of Bnei Bayis. In the days of the Gemara, that was a common practice. The Gemara said the Ferish. In the last parak in Tzachim, the Rav Yosef used to recite, the yeshivas used to be open on Pesach, like in Balozhin. Balozhin yeshiva was open on Pesach, and all the Talmidim ate rather than the Seder. And they all write all the stories, the way they remember, the way that they saying this vegan, they said this, and they said this because they're not, and everything that appears, and then it seems how good it is what he used to say by his Seder in the yeshiva, in the big yeshiva. In fact, Rav Kook writes also that, he used to tell over about Rami Yitzchak and Kook, the chief rabbi, and he just went to see Israel, but also used to say all the different things that he heard from him and speak by the Seder and reminisce about what the Seder was like. So the, in the days of the Gemara, also the yeshivas were open on Pesach, and the Talmidim used to eat by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would travel their Seder. He would say the whole lot, but the Talmidim wouldn't say a word. They would all be able to, which Shemeh Kainah. Some of them somehow forgot that Gemara. But some raised the possibility that you can't say Shemeh Kainah by Haggadah. You can only say Shemeh Kainah by Kiddush, by Abdullah, by Bechus HaMoz, when you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then you can say Shemeh Kainah. But Kiyah Shofar, okay. But let's say by Duchenim, the famous Tshuva, that the Beit HaLevi has. Let's say the two Kohanim go up to Duchen, and one of them has laryngitis, and just can't talk. So, Rav Shlomo Lazulma writes, Rabbi Talazulma, the older brother of Rav Shlomo Lazulma, writes in his paper, Rashi Bikurim, that the Kohanim who can talk should say the both Kohanim should have their hands stretched out. The Kohanim who can talk should say the Baruch HaTivarecha, Hashem Yishmerecha out loud. And the other Kohanim should be Yosei, which are their Kohanim. Why not? So it'll be considered, considered as if he said, whenever you have a mitzvah of Amir, and I listen to someone else who does the Amir, so it's considered as if I myself did the Amir. Right. So since he's doing the talking, and I'm listening, so Shnei Kohanim is considered as if I said it. And the Beit HaLevi quotes this in the Sefer on Chumash. He doesn't write who said it, because he's disagreeing with the Zohar Zayin. He's a big Zayin of Zohar, Rabbi Tzal Zohar. He says he saw in a certain Sefer, he doesn't say the name of the Sefer, that he can say, you can allow Shnei Kohanim. By Duchenin, he explains that it doesn't work, and he gives that svar. So when can you say Shnei Kohanim? When you have to recite Kiddush, Avdola, or Kiyah Shofar, or read the Megillah, or something like that. But whenever you have to speak to somebody else, so if you have to have a relationship between the two people, and the other person doesn't hear you, he only hears the other Kohanim say the Bracha, the Bracha Hashem Yishmerecha, so you're not going to say the Duchenin. So sometimes it's that according to that svar of the Beit HaLevi, if he's right, that the whole idea of Duchenin is, Amor Lahem Torem Hamadabri El Chavero, and you don't allow Shnei Kohanim, whenever you have to speak to somebody, so you shouldn't allow Shnei Kohanim by the Haggadah L'Ol Pesach, because the Mishnah says in Sochem that L'chatchila, the proper way to fulfill seeking business on nobody's there, he's eating all by himself, but then he asks himself, and he gives the answer to himself. But you see that the Hakira, the mitzvah of Shlemusa, is to tell over the story to others, and he's supposed to tell it to others, and everybody has the mitzvah of Sipi Tis and Tana Pesach Nair. So how can we say Shemeh Kohanim, that it's the citizens of everybody called everybody else? with Amalahem, with the Torah, Harna Mahaber. That's the Tama Chayim, the Rav, the whole notion. So the later Rafaim point out that it's against the Gemara. Gemara says black and white, that you do allow Hashem Ekoim. Gemara, in fact, has the whole discussion. Rav Yosef, or the Sagi Nohor, he was blind, and he recited the whole Agada Baal Peh to be Moitzi, his Talmidim, based on Shem Ekoim. So the Gemara raises the objection, how could he be Moitzi them? If a cotton or a cheresh or a shofar will blow, a woman, let's say, will blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, she won't be able to be might see everybody else because the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah. A cheresh or a cotton is not mechuyev. And the Gemara derives from a pasuk that the Gemara claims that a blind person is potter from tpsis and blind. But since a blind person is potter from tpsis and blind, so it says, Abu Zer, Asa Hashem, Leib, it says, Mishan. But then it's something that you can point to. And even though you can pick it up, even though Rabbi Yosef can pick up the mass in the mirror, but since you can't see it, so that's the chisaron of Babu Zeh. That's what Gemara says in the Chiddush. Gemara time is that a blind person is potter and atur from tzitzis, which is done, the mostly is mechuyev is only with the rabbanim. So Gemara time is, since Rabbi Yosef is a sagi nor, and he wasn't mechuyev in atur, and he missed the tzitzis, and how could he be mostly the talmidim? Based on Shemei Kaidah, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, in the end of the third parish, the Mishnah is mechuyev adover, and it must be a tachem with Eichai Vosem. So the Gemara answers to this sign is that Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion that nobody does not have a chayv in tzitzis to sign that says. Everybody is only mechuyev in the Rabbana. He is mechuyev in the Rabbana, they are mechuyev in the Rabbana. Everybody is equal. Why is no one mechuyev? The whole mitzvah of Habrad is only the Rabbana. Because it says, Mechumish Ba'avizah, Asha Hashem Levi Tzitzin Yisrayim. And it says, Ma'avizah Ba'avizah Ba'amah, to the Peshem Shishma Tumara, Munachim Lepanach, you have to have something there. The carbon pencil, we don't have these manas and enough of them. And Mara, the Gemara says, is only with the Rabbana and the manas. Because Mara is only with the Natera, the Gemara should be the Mizu Shoya Kaya. And the manas and Mara is only with the Rabbana. What about Master this manas? Is Master this manas and the Natera, or is it also with the Rabbana? So that's the Machlid. So it's not Mara, in the very end of the stuff, and that's Kukha. So we pass in the Master this manas and the Natera. Because we have an extra pocket that says, there, it's all the Master, that it's a separate clear. That not only is Master and Mitzvah, the Torah, are shared with the Pizkla, you should eat it in conjunction with the carbon pesach to enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of carbon pesach. Like Mara is Asher in the Pesach, it's a way to fulfill the mitzvah of carbon pesach with Shnei Musa. But in addition to that, Matzah is also a mitzvah of Shnei Asher. So even if Manazeh, but we don't have any carbon pesach at all, we still have the mitzvah of Matzah and Asher. And Rav Yosef holds Matzah, Rav Yosef holds out the other Amor right. That Matzah is Manazeh, it's only with the Rabbana. So if Matzah is only with the Rabbana, then Mara is only with the Rabbana, and carbon pesach doesn't exist, so you can't say Babu is there. So nobody has any mitzvah of CPSS with Shnei Musa. So the Yosef said, I say, I'm just as Mukhiv as everybody else. We're all Mukhiv and CPU CS and CLAM, you're the Rabbanan. Nobody's Mukhiv in Azer. But Halacha Lamais is the way he's asking. The Matzah is Manazer, is their Isa. So all of the other people in the Yeshiva, all the normal people who are able to see would be Mukhiv and are Mukhiv and Matzah in Azer. So mainly they're Mukhiv and CPU CS and CLAM in Azer, because you can't say Babu is there. There is Matzah and Munach Lufanakwa on the level of their Isa. And the Summa is only Mechuyev Nidei Rabbanan and CPS and Shem, so the Summa would not be able to be Moisei the other people. Let's say all year long a blind person can recite Kiddush, can be Moisei everybody else, there's nothing wrong. There's one opinion in the Gemara that the Summa is possibly Kolamit. The Summa is only Chayev Mitzvah Nidei Rabbanan. So if you were all like that, then a blind man wouldn't be able to blow Shofar to be Moisei everybody else, he wouldn't be able to recite Kiddush to be Moisei everybody else. But Ruba, the Ruba of the Poskim, don't accept that opinion. No, we have one quote, there's one day in the Rabbanei Ruchim. The Tashma is like that, she said, Rav Yehuda, the Tana, that assumed was possibly called a mitzvah, was only chayiv in the Rabbanan. But the other Mishnayim don't pass on that. So we assume that blind people are just as mechuyev, and all the mitzvahs they write is everybody else, with the exception of Sikhi, Tzitzis, and John. Because the Gemara says that assumed was possible, since Baba is there. Now, does that mean something that you can look at? Not enough that you can shake it. You can look at it. So the Gemara quotes the passage there, it says by Ben Torah and Morah. The Gemara in the end of Stoffing quote. Says by Ben Torah, the top sabo of Ivi Imo, and they bring the kid to the bed, and they say, the name is Esarei Mares. So the Gemara says, the top sabo of Ivi Imo, they should grab hold of this son and bring him to the bed and stop the Gidman. If his parents don't have hands and they're unable to grab hold of their kids, so the child is not Mukhiyev, he doesn't get the Yanish of Ben Torah. And then they say, the name is Esarei Mares. That means that they're able to see him. But the parents, if either parent is a sumo, either parent is totally blind, then the son will not be able to become that Ben Torah Mora. You see that even though the grabbing hold of the kid is possible, nevertheless they can't say the name is there, if they're blind, you can't say there, and something that you can't see. You have to be able to hold it, but if it's possible, you have to hold it, and you have to be able to see. So the Gemara says on Pesach night, even if you're shaking the mask in the mirror, if you can't see it, if the person doesn't look, let's say he's in such a great ecstasy that he's saying the whole Hagwad about there, and he closes his eyes, that's no good. In mercy, you have to have your eyes open, and see the matzah, see the whatever it is that you have on the table. So the Gemara says explicitly that you do say Shema Kohen. That's what the Lay Rachim said. The Gemara says explicitly you do say Shema Kohen. On CPSC and Tana Pesach. Now, how is that Taina? How can you allow Shema Kohen? By CPSC and Tana Pesach, the dinners of the Haskimah should be Lestape Lachir. From the summer, the answer is Poshet. That is only that you already gave the answer. That's only Lachatkinah. The Mishnah's God gives the answer. Look, I've created a list for the Shem Yusra of CPSC and Tana to tell a story to somebody else. Tana Pesach, name of name Ishto Shalot. Name lo Ishto Shalachirim Shalmot. Name Achirim Imo, who Shalom Yatmo. So then, so what's the last level? What's the fourth level? There's nobody else there. The person is making the mistake all by himself. So he says to himself, Mamashtan, and he says the whole answer. So you see that you are able to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis and Shana Pesach night, even if you're not Mesapel Achir. It's just the Dilma Hatzidah should be Mesapel Achir. But that's not the essence of the mitzvah. Not the same as Duchening. Let's say the Kohen is all by himself, and he's going to Duchen. So if there's nobody there, that the Bracha should be Chala, and he can't Duchen. Let's say there's a Shul Kula Kohan. All the people in the Shul are all Kohan. The Din is you have to have a minion. The Mishnah says in Megillah Daf Kaf, you can't have Duchening without a minion. You have a minion. All 10 people in the Shul are Kohan. Everybody's Kohan. The Baal Tzur is also Kohan. He's going to turn around. They're all going to turn. They're all going to say a bracha. The Gemara says you can't give a bracha to nobody. I think the Gemara says that the bracha is chal on the Am Shabbat Sodom. The bracha is chal on the people in the field. That's the Gemara says only if there are people in the Shul, it's chal on them. Then Agav, that the bracha is chal on the Balabatim in the Shul, so chal on the Am Shabbat Sodom as well. But if there's nobody in the Shul to give the bracha to, so then it's not good to the end. You have to have a molahem, Sodom, Hoimala, Haver. That's how you know you have to face Ponim, Kinev, Ponim. You have to face the people and recite the bracha to them. So there, the Beit HaLevi Taimu, you can't allow Shemea Kohenu. A Duchening, if the one Kohen has laryngitis and the other doesn't, so let them both hold their hands, and the one is able to speak to say Yerech Hashem Yishmerech, and the other one with the Yerech to the Shemea Kohenu, so the Beit HaLevi Taimu Tocham, you can't do that, because where's the molahem? It's not Kodom, Hoimala, Haver. That's because by Duchening, the Oimala, Haver is the Kuvah. That's essential. If you're not going to be Medabal HaHaber, it's not called a bracha. A bracha means that you speak to the person, not that you say from a distance. You say to the farmers, you give them a bracha. That's a tefillah. A bracha is when you give farming, can I get farming? You give the person a bracha in person. If he's not here and you want to be Mespala for him, so that's not so. Over the telephone is also in person. But if he's not, you're not speaking directly to the person and you can't hear, that's a tefillah. That's not called a bracha. So therefore, it's essential to the Duchening to have Kodom Oimala HaHaber. Today we wouldn't allow Shemeh Kohen according to the Beis Halevi. But here, it's not essential, it's just a mitzvah d'shnei musa to have Adam Hoyim al-Hachaber. Why is it talking that the mitzvah d'shnei musa by CPSS and Simon that you should tell us l'Achir? If it's not Me'akir, it's in Yevit, you can be here to the mitzvah of CPSS and Simon. Even if Ein Shem Achirin, who shall liyatmo, and he gives the answer himself. So why is it that l'chatchila you have to ask that it's Medab al-Achir? Let's say on Chanukah, is a requirement that you should light up the... You light up the window so that other people should see. Yeah. Could be. It could be. So Rachel used to say another answer along a different mahalak. He used to say that the Mishnah says that on Pesach night, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzis Yisrael Shem is to recite the parasha of Aram Yavid Avi and to darshan it. So he thought that that's the equivalent. That if you're not going to recite a parasha from the Chumash and Darshan, let's say just tell the children the story of Yisrael and Shem. Just about that. So he thought that that wouldn't be sufficient. And if he just reads from the Chumash, it wouldn't be sufficient. And if just say tell us about that, also wouldn't be sufficient. So the Mishnah would appear that the only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by reciting some parasha of Yisrael and Darshan is the parasha about that. And that's what we do. We recite the Pesukim, Aram Yavid Avi, and then we break down the parasha to different phrases, and then we darshan. And every phrase in the pasuk, Kama Shenemar, Alamed, and so on, Shenemar, we quote Sukkim to explain what every section of the pasuk means. So Rav Kadosh taught that the mitzvah of Tzitzis and Shana Pesach night can only be fulfilled in the form of Talmud Torah. It's a special prat within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In fact, that's what some... And that's perhaps why it has to be the Higadah of the Binnacle, because the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach your children, to teach your own children. It's interesting that the Rebbe used to say, if you look in the Rambam and look at Talmud Torah, the Rambam has something very strange. He says that everyone is mechuyav to teach Torah to other people, and then we're mechuyav to learn ourselves in order to be able to teach other people. We would have said that there's two different mitzvahs. No, we would have said that to learn Torah is one mitzvah, and then after you learn everything, then there's another mitzvah to teach Torah to others. The Rambam doesn't write like that. The Rambam writes based on the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it from the Gemara and Kiddushin. Then there's the first person. It's a mitzvah, the Lama Torah L'Acherim, and then whoever is mechuyav, the Lama Torah L'Acherim is mechuyav to learn himself. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara that women are not obligated to teach Torah to others, they're not mechuyev to learn Torah for themselves. They're not mechuyev to learn the dinim in order to know how to observe the mitzvot of Torah. They're not obligated to learn all those dinim that are not relevant to them, because they're not mechuyev to teach the others. So the mitzvah begins with teaching, transmitting the Torah to others. He said on different occasions, when the Rabbani Shalom originally created Adam and Chava, so there weren't so many people around. So he gave them a mitzvah, Puruvu, Umilah Asaris. So that mitzvah, the Gemara said, it's applied to all the human form. Because the Matan Torah, the mitzvah Puruvu applied to the Nachim as well. There were no Jews. And after the Matan Torah, the Gemara says, the mitzvah was changed, and it only, Mikael Abo, after the Matan Torah, it only applies to the Nei Torah, it doesn't apply to the Nachim. And the Pashto says that the nature of the mitzvah also changed. So after the Matan Torah, one only fulfills the mitzvah if he gives birth to children and he educates them, and he teaches them Torah. He transmits Yiddishkeit to the children. The person just brings babies into the world and doesn't give them any Yiddish chinuch, doesn't fulfill any mitzvah. The mitzvah through who has to mind in Har Sinai, the whole nature of the mitzvah changes. No longer mitzvah, milotot v'chiv shua. The original mitzvah is through who milotot v'chiv shua to conquer the whole world, to study science, and to try to investigate as much of nature as possible. But after Mamre HaSinai, the Rebbeinu Shalom decided there are enough people in the world, and there's enough science, not Mechuyev anymore to Milo Torah to Chiv Shua, and he only repeated the Chedek of Minister, through the Puru, for the purpose of transmitting the Matera of Torah to the next generation. And that's why the Rambam seems to imply that, Ben Azai, a person who's not Shokosh to Matera, and just feels that he's not cut out for marriage, he doesn't want to get married, but the Rambam seems like he says, if he'll teach Torah to other people, so this will be a partial Tima Mitzvah of Pirig Rizmi. Now the Chodesh Chaim writes, based on the Pasuk in Yishayim, Kom Arashem La'Tzari, Tima Shei Yishmu, Shatzah, Gokhulu, Bashatzah, Machazi, Tim Bivri, Tzi, those who are Tzarizmi, those who don't have children of their own, they should support Yeshivas. Why? Because the Iker of the Mitzvah of having children, Pirig Rizmi, is to transmit Torah values to the next generation, to the Mechanech, the next Dorg of Torah. So if one doesn't want to get married, or one is married, is unable to have children, or whatever, so then he should at least fulfill the partial Tima Mitzvah of adopting children and teaching them Torah, or supporting yeshivas and teaching Torah to other people. So the Ikka Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be Moshe Torah Lachem. So that's perhaps why over here on Pesach Nari, the Ikka Mitzvah is the Higarat of Vinchot to tell your children. The Ikka Mitzvah of Tipi Tis Nisai is not so much just to be excited about the Nisim Mitzvah, but rather it's a Chemik of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Shibolei Alekhev. And his commentary on Haggadah comments, why is it that before we start Kenegad Abba Balam Zibratar, that is a mitzvah of Sipi Yitzis Mishan Yikir to your children, so we recited Birchas HaTorah, Baruch HaMachim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalat and Tal Amisov Baruch Hu. As if it's a form of Birchas HaTorah, we already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you said Birchas HaTorah before you learn. So why do you repeat again now a form of Birchas HaTorah? So the Shibol HaLeket says part of this, and after that she enhanced on the thing, that so we show him quote in the name of Rashi that when he would wake up in the morning and learn before Minyan, he would recite Birchas HaTorah. And then when the Minyan came to Shul and they would all say Korbanos all together in Shul, after Birchas HaShach, before Rosh Hashanah, they would repeat Birchas HaTorah again. We don't pass like that, Rashi. We pass like once he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, it's probably all the learning you're going to do in that day, unless you're going to get an Aliyah. If you get an Aliyah, then you have to repeat again Birchas HaTorah. But Rashi's opinion was that you have to recite another Birchas HaTorah when there's going to be called the Torah B'Tzibur. So the original Birchas HaTorah that you said when you were learning for yourself and no one else was around, that was on Talmud Torah B'Yochid. And now that you're having a new form of Kiyum, Talmud Torah, namely Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, Talmud Torah B'Rabim, everybody's reciting Karbanos together, so you have to recite a new Birchas HaTorah. So perhaps on Pesach night, since the Chachamim were Koveya, that the way, the Mishnah says that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi and Tzipi Mitzrayim is a specific form of Talmud Torah, to have Torah Shebichtav with Torah Shebichtav combined together, to recite the parasha of Arami Avodah, the answer darshan is, did the Yevid, if you didn't do that, the Rebbe Amiel says, you would be Yevid, as long as you say, Matzah, Lishna, Lachem, Al-Shemno, and so on. But L'chatchila, the list of Bishnei Musa, is to recite a parasha from the Torah, and to darshan, and that's what we're about to do. So perhaps, since now we are required to fulfill a specific form, a unique specific form, of Mitzvah Talmud Torah, so maybe that's why we recite now another form of Birchas HaTorah. And maybe that's why the Mitzvah Bishnei Musa is, you can't live in Chav, to give over the Torah to your children. Because that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Matan Mosmez B'nechem. And maybe that's why the Ikar mitzvah is, if you don't have Bonim, the Ikar mitzvah is L'lamed L'Acherim. Because the Ikar of Talmud Torah, the Rambam quotes based on the Gemara, that strange Gemara Kiddushin, is the Ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not to learn for yourself, but rather L'lamed L'Acherim. And a chelik of L'lamed L'Acherim to transmit Torah to others is that you should learn in order to know what you're transmitting. But the Ikar mitzvah of learning Torah is to transmit. There is a Gemara at the end of Brachos, so the Gemara speaks about Cherev al Pasuk in Yishayah, the end of Yishayah. Cherev al Habadim v'Noalim. So the simple reading of the Pasuk is, the simple shot in the Pasuk is that by a lot of the other religions, the Pasuk there is referring to the Egyptian religion. And their religion, the priests would hoard all of the knowledge for themselves, and they insisted on keeping the masses in the dark. They didn't want to educate all of them. Because they would only have very few people who know how to read and how to write and to know what the religion is all about. And they wouldn't spread the religion to the masses. They didn't want everybody to know everything. But the Pasuk says, terrible abadim and all of that. It's a terrible thing, the badim, the people who keep the knowledge all for themselves. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk is speaking about an avodah zarah, some other religion, but it applies to the Jewish religion as well. Cheres al tanei shel tamid hachachamim. Means a curse against those tamid hachachamim. So instead of saying a curse on rabbonim, they say on the enemies of the rabbonim. It means cheres al tanei shel tamid hachachamim shelom din bad devar. Those who learn bad devar, they learn all by themselves. So what does it mean one learns without a chavrusa? Should be cursed. Many people throughout all the generations, many gedolim learn without a chavrusa. Many people enjoy better learning with chavrusa. Many people enjoy better learning without a chavrusa. The Gemara says, for most people, they don't try to nick themselves at Chavrus. It's hard to be Masnech and Redding unless you learn it to someone else, and you talk out the issue. It's hard to figure everything out on your own. But some people are just not mitzvahs from learning the Chavrus. If they learn by themselves, not better. Because it's such a terrible curse on those who learn without a Chavrus. They also let you thought that the Gemara does mean that. Different proportions give different interpretations on that Gemara. What is the Gemara referring to? I mean, a Chacham who learn Bab Givad, they learn all by themselves. For instance, the Shem says of Pshat, and it means that they learn, and they're so abstracted from the real world. They're not in touch with reality. They don't read the newspapers. They don't know what's happening in politics. They're not up with the times. It says to the Mitzvah Sharm says, that's the curse that the Gemara and Tertius and Novi is giving to the Zemel HaChamim, who remove themselves. They go sitting right in the yeshiva, and they don't know what's going on in the world. And now there's the Yivad HaPshat. So after the way she interpreted that the Pshat was the following, that the Sefer Hasidim speaks about how terrible it was that the Talmidim of the Bali HaTesis all used to listen to the Shurim of their Rabbein, and they would keep notes, and they wouldn't lend the notes to other Talmidim from other yeshivas. They would hoard all the chidushim. They wanted to be the only one who had these chidushim there, and they wouldn't want to share it with the public. But after they should put them, maybe that's what the Gemara is referring to. Shalom din bad bevad. That they try to learn everything on their own, and to hoard the knowledge, they don't want to share the knowledge with others. That one is not permitted to learn Torah unless it's going to transmit the Torah to others. The Iker, Inyan of Liman HaTorah to Lamed LaHerim. And Lil Amad Liyakim is only in order to enable you to be the Lamed Lacher. The Rebbe Hashem doesn't give you permission to learn Torah unless you plan to transmit all of the knowledge that you get to other people. I thought that maybe that's the Ger Rabin on Pesach night, that the Iker Mitzvah L'Chatzila Deraisa of CPT from Tzorayim is Talmud Torah, the Haino L'Lamed Lacher, to transmit the Torah to other people, to give it over to the Bonham. And if he doesn't have Bonham, the Ishtawa Lacherim, because the Iker Mitzvah Talmud Torah to give it to others. If he doesn't have others, then he can do it on his own. He's surely asked for the Yashim. But since that's only the Ike Mitzvah Bishle Musa, but it's not the Yikuva to transmit it to others, but that's why here you would apply Shanei Kaina to Sipi Yitzis and Sam. It's not the same as Duchening. But by Duchening, the other Muhammad Abel HaHadera is the Yikuva. There, if you're not speaking to anybody else, if the Kainim are giving the brachas to Shul, and there's nobody there to receive the brachas, so they're just not Yitzis the Mitzvah at all. So there, where it's ma'akeh, that's the essence of the whole mitzvah. Without speaking to anyone else, there's no kima mitzvah at all of duchening. So there, the Beis Halei time is destroyed that you can't apply Shanei Kohen. If I see it, it's just something. You want to observe that you would apply Shanei Kohen. There's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Many families and many gives that one person recites the Haggadah, and everybody else just relaxes and they sit and they listen. So Kiddush is fine. What about you? It's fine. Everything is fine. Rishonim, what about the very pre-Hadamah of Kaifa? The Gemara says that Ashek Rishonim in the Tosfos is one of Al Achilas Matzah. That's a Birchas HaMitzvah. But that you can also say the Brachas of Samanot. What about Hamoitzi? Also, I can say Hamoitzi if I'm eating and he's eating. You can say Hamoitzi. And on Pesach night, the Gemara even adds a greater finish. Even if I'm not eating, since the Hamoitzi goes together with Al Achilas Matzah, and since the Brachas of Agafi goes together with the Kiddush, even if I'm not drinking, unless I'm just going to your home to recite Kiddush for you, now I'm going to go home to my own house. But the Gemara even says I can be moist to you with the Barakah Agafen of the Kiddush, just like I can be moist to you with the Kiddush, even though I don't want to be yaitin it. I can be moist to you with the Barakah Agafen. The Shaila is, what about Barakah Hadom of Kata? If one person says, let's say you have a lot of people, not on Pesach, a lot of people sitting and eating potatoes. If one person says Barakah Hadom. So the Gemara has... No, only by Kiddush and Hamoitzi of Alachidas Matzah I can recite the bracha to you, even if I'm not even eating or drinking anything. What if we're all eating together? What if we're all eating together? In the middle of the week, not on Shabbat, nothing to do with Kiddush. So if it's pasta, yayin, if it's bread, and we're all eating together, I can say Hamoitzi and Mimoitzi. No, if it's yayin and I say bracha, I've got Mimoitzi, I've got Mimoitzi. What if we're drinking beer? What if we're eating potato chips? Can I say the bracha to Mimoitzi, everybody else or not? So the Gemara has two lashanas. And the Machlek is the Rambam and the Raizah, and there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch what the din is. So the Rambam paskins that another food other than passing yayin you can't recite a bracha to be mercy anybody else. Even though I'm eating myself, we're all eating potatoes now, we're all eating karpa. I can't say both for Adam, it could be mercy other people. And the Raizah paskins the reverse, that on passing yayin you require hesedah, that everybody should be sitting at the same table. And if you're drinking soda, or we're eating potatoes or something, even if I'm not eating at the same table, there is no Hasidah, we're more makel there, and I can say the Baruch Hu Adam, but to be most of the other people, even though there's no Hasidah, even though there's not one yeshiva. So that's a machlokes, that's a machlokes. So that's why the Pesukim say that with respect to the Baruch Hu Karpa, the proper thing is, you should encourage everybody to say their own Baruch Hu Adam. Even though you'll rely on Shemei Kodesh for the whole Adorah from the beginning to the end, to the Kiddush, and the Baruch Hu Adam, and Hamoitzi, and Alachidat Mas, and Alachidat Mas, and everything, Adorah Maninu, but for the Berkri, Adon of Karpa, that's a big shayla. That's a big shayla. The Riyas and the Rambam happened to paskin that you can say Berkri, Adon to be mercy, other people for Karpa, even if you're not eating them. That's a chiddush. Even if you're not eating. Apparently there was a practice that the Balabatim had no Haggadah. Or they had Haggadah, they didn't know how to read, whatever it was. So the rabbi had to go travel to say that by every Balabatim's home. So the rabbi would go home from shul, and on his way he would run to the Haggadah by one Balabas, and then run to the next home and recite the whole Haggadah, and he would say the Baruch Yagotin and the Kiddush and everything, and he wouldn't eat, he's going to have to eat at home, he runs that Kiddush Mokum to them. His wife and his children are waiting at home, so he would run through the whole Haggadah. So the Rambam quotes from the Rit, and the Shulchan quotes that. He can say Baruch Yagotin with the Kiddush, and he's not drinking the wine. That's the Gemara. He can say, I'm wasting all Achilas Mat, even if he's not eating. And they have to drink, right. And then the Rambam quotes from the Rish, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can say Berkri Hadama for Karpas, even though he's not eating the Karpas. You can even say Yotza Maitzis, he's not eating at all. So that's the Chiddush, the Rambam and the Rish and the Shulchan Aruch hold that this is considered part of the Haggadah. That on the whole Haggadah you say, you can eat the other people. And others on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, you can make a quote, those who question this, this is very difficult. Because you can say Berkri Hadama to be the other people on the Karpas. It's even a question if you're eating together with them. Whether it's proper that they should rely on your bracha, maybe everybody should say their own bracha. So that's why some folks can point out that with respect to the karpas, you should try to be more everybody that they should say their own bracha. Or sorry for your own. So again, the whole purpose of the karpas, the point of the Gemara, is just for they should use Shalohat United to keep the children's interest. And then right after the karpas, starts the magi, to start the haggadah. How do you start the haggadah? So be Zman HaMikdosh, we learn out from the Pasuk God was there. The Amartya, the B'Shev Sheis Masim Ramon Ofer, Menachem Bofanecha, you only have the Chiyuv to recite Tzipias Yisus on a Pesach night if you have something there. Let's say the person doesn't have a Korban Pesach, they're not in no more. But then he has no Mitzvah Min HaTorah, Tzipias Yisus on. Let's say there's a Jew in prison, in Siberia or something, and just doesn't have any Matzah or anything. So then he only has a Mitzvah of Tzipias Yisus on the Rabbah. He has Matzah, so we pass in that Matzah is Menatar, so then the CPS is Sinai is Menatar. You have to have some Babu Zeh. You have to speak about the story of the CPS and Sinai in connection with some tangible object, one of the Mitzvahs HaLailah. There's Man HaMikdosh in the CPS points out, and it's Bir HaChumash, and Parshas Boy, and Parshas HaChodesh. There's Man HaMikdosh that they had the Korban Pesach, so that was the Iker. So they would have the Korban Pesach on the table, and they wouldn't start off Holach Marmi, the Achol Avatam, they would say, this is the Korban Pesach that we brought on Erev Pesach, and then they would start Manashtar. And this man has that's why it's an Aramaic, because this was composed in Bovel, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they no longer had the Korban Pesach, so they had to change the Nusach of the Haggadah. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes the Chiddush. And this is the Nusach of the Haggadah that was composed in Bovel, Holach Ma'aniyah. That's why it's an Aramaic. This man HaMikdosh, they didn't say Holach Ma'aniyah. They started off, this is the Korban Pesach that we grew up, and then they say Manishtan. And this man has as a substance, instead of having Babuzeh, Korban Pesach, so you start off Babuzeh, you have the Lachma Anya. So because we have Magid and we say Holachma Anya, you have to, that's why it's called Lechem Oni, because it's Lechem She'onim all of Dvarim Arbeit. But you have to tell the story of Tzipi Tzim Tzayim in connection with the Mitzvah of Ma'at. That's Bizman HaZeth, Lechem She'onim all of Dvarim Arbeit. Bizman HaMikdosh, you didn't need the Lechem Oni. for the purpose of keeping the Kiddush. You can leave the carbon pesach there the whole time. You didn't have to have that kiddush. But there's not a day, you don't have any carbon pesach yet. If you want to fulfill a mitzvah magid, you have to have some one of the mitzvahs halal, and morah is only the rabbanon. If you want to fulfill TPTS and Simon Atara, you have to have matzah. Matzah is the only thing that we have, is Man Atara, it's Man Atara. So in order to have matzah, that's why we have yachad. Who's stuck in the yachad over here? That's what Rashi has. Rashi, this Hagos Maimi on the bottom of the Rambam, quoting Rashi is the first source of the introduction of yachad. Because Man HaMikdash, they didn't have any yachad here. They had karpat, Kidei Sheish Lati Noikos, and then they would leave the carbon pesach on the table. They had already shechted it before and grow it and air pesach. Then they leave the carbon pesach on the table. They say, this is the carbon pesach that the Rebbe Shalom told us we have to bring on pesach. And then they would say, manashtan. Then they would go back. They wouldn't make this declaration, holach manya. But the manah says, we don't have the carbon pesach. We have to have some kind of one of the litzis halayla. So they say, holach manya, this is Babazeh. Here's the lechem shenem olzom harbeh. So in order that it should be called a lach manya, you have to break it in here. So the Gemara says, why is it called lechem oni? Madakish alani beprutza. A rich man can afford to have shleimus, and a poor man doesn't can't afford to have anything. So he goes around knocking on the door, they're sniffing the door, so the prophet says in Yeshaya, break off a piece from your challah, a piece from your bread, and give it to the poor man, so give him a broken piece of bread. It's a really rich fellow, so give him a shleimus. But usually you only give the prophet in Yeshaya, says, give him a prusa. So since Madakish shalani the prusa, the poor man usually has a broken loaf of bread. So that's why we first do yachat, we break them up so we only have a part, and then we say a declaration, this is the lechem oni that we have to have in order to enable us to fulfill the mitzvah of TPTS and Christ. So the Zman HaMikdash said they didn't have to have the matzah, they had the carbon pesach, they didn't have any yachat. In fact, the Rambam doesn't have any yachat bichlal. The Rambam says, yeah, you have to have prusa when you're, after you wash the second time, the tefillah you're dying, and you're about to say HaMoitzi, instead of having two shleimos, like you normally have in every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should break one of the shleimos and have one shleimo and one prusa. That's the machlokes of the Rambam and Tesis. That Tesis says that in every Yom Tov you have to have lechem mishnah, you have to have two shleimos, some Tesis, you have to have lechem mishnah. But in addition to the lechem mishnah, you have to have a darker shalom, the prusa, you have to have a broken one. The Tesis says, oh, so you have to have three matzahs, you have to have two shleimos and a broken one. And that's what the Rishonim say, the Agudah, right? And it's Tesis Agudah, the Talmud of the Rosh. Right in his commentary on the Gemara's Brachos, the Gemara says in Brachos that at Pesach night, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees, Sheminech Prusa B'Perch HaShleima U'Botzea. Everybody agrees, you put the Prusa B'Toch HaShleima. What do you mean B'Toch? So he said, it's a right to Pesach. B'Toch means you have two Shleimas, one on top and one on bottom. You put the Prusa in the middle. So that's Pesach's meaning, that you have two Shleimas to fulfill the Mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah and Lecha Lamon. That there was a double portion of Mon, and every Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yom Tov. Then you have to have the Prusa because of Lecha Moni. So the Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam says you don't have two and a half, because where's the lechem oni? You have two and a half, so that shows that you're richer than everybody. Everyone else only has one loaf of bread, you have two and a half. So the Rambam says no, that the lechem oni is that whereas on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov you have two shleimers, on Pesach night you don't have two shleimers, you only have one shleimer and one prusa. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Rambam writes, when you make this, the one shleimer and the one prusa, he demonstrates that you're not going to fulfill lechem mishnah. When do you do this? The Rambam says, right before you're about to say Hamoitzi, now Achilas Master, you take two shleimas, you break one, you have one and a half. According to Tosafot, you have two and a half. And then right as you're about to say the two brachas, Hamoitzi, now Achilas Master, then you arrange your yachad. The Rambam does not have yachad all in the beginning. According to the Rambam, where do you have the lechem shenem olos v'rum, how do you have to say holach ma'anya? The Rambam holds you can have a shleima. What's this? It's lach ma'anya. It is lach ma'anya. And our practice is like Rashi, like the Gemara, that we have Yachas as an introduction to Magid. If you want to start off the Haggadah by showing that you have one of the mitzvahs halayla, in order to say Babazel, I'm out of the Shoshiyah, something l'forecha. So the Korban Pesach, we don't have the Klal, and the Murray is only the Rabbanim. So in order to have the TPT and Shaman HaTorah, so we want to demonstrate that we have Lechem Oni, so we break a Prusa, and we say that's why it's called Lechem Oni, and we say Holach Manya, this is the Lechem Oni that enables us to fulfill the mitzvah of CPCS mitzvah. The Gemara followed the Rambam's opinion, right? That you only have one shleim and one prusa. But they didn't follow the Rambam all the way. The Rambam she says that you don't have any yachad, bichlal. The Rambam she says that you only break it right before you're about to say the Gemara. It's like we did. We had first yachad and then magid. The meaning is that you break the middle matzah into two parts and you wrap one part around and you put it away for the apikoyim. What kind of a meaning is that you wrap it around and you put it away for the apikoyim? So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the explanation is the following, that the Afrikaimen, the Rishonim say, is supposed to be a Zechel Kodi Tetzah. That we eat matzah twice on Pesach, like we eat three times. You eat first for the Al-Achilas matzah, then you eat for the Koira, and then you eat at the end for the Afrikaimen. So the matzah that you eat in the beginning, that has to be eaten with the Tayyavim. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat on Erev Pesach. And then Amin Chalamayla, late in the afternoon, so then Shiachal matzah with the Tayyavim. Because in Pesach was bedafka not eaten with the Tayyavim. Because the Rishonim says we are afraid, we shouldn't shvi'a tetzim. So the special law that only applies to Kodesh Pesach, it doesn't apply to any other carbonate, so etzim le sizdu bo. You're not permitted to break any of the bones of the Kodesh Pesach. So they're afraid that if a fellow was fasting a whole day in Erev Pesach, and maybe so soft, it was going to grab hold of that piece of flesh and it was going to break the bone in order to chew up the bone in order to get the marrow. So that's why they made it. There is the rabbonon, that's what Pesach is supposed to be shown. There is the rabbonon, that the Kodesh Pesach has to be eaten dach and nechal ala sova at the end of the meal. That's how the portion explained the nusach that we say in Halachman. We say, kol dechvin, whoever is starving, whoever is hungry, yeter v'yefa, should come and eat matzah. And kol dechvin, whoever needs, yeter v'yitza, you should eat the carbon test. What do they eat the carbon test? They don't have any carbon test. And this nusach is composed in bubble. So the portion say that yeter v'yitza means you should eat the apikono. But yeter, kol dechvin, whoever is hungry, should eat matzah. Matzah has to be eaten with the oven. That's a takonat tapanoim. But you're not supposed to eat when I'm in for a mile, because they should eat a matzah with the oven. But you don't say kol dechsin, whoever is starved should eat the apikomen. You're not supposed to eat the apikomen when you're starving, because the apikomen is echel atesa. And the kontesa has to be eaten dapke al hasova when you're already full, not when you're totally full. So it should be an achila gaso, but you shouldn't be starving anymore. So that's why we say kol dechsin, yeter v'yitza should eat the apikomen. Whoever wants should eat the apikomen. So here, the Chaim Soloveitchik explained that in kontesa there is a din, there's a din in all karbonim. That Hesach Adas topples a carbon. That if a carbon becomes tameh, you're not permitted to eat it. What if you left the flesh of the carbon on the side and nobody was watching it? I shift the carbon and leave the buffer somewhere, and there's no one around to watch to make sure that it didn't become tameh. Even though it most probably did not become tameh, you should really put it on the Chesk of Tahara. That it was so hard when we put it there, when we come back and we don't see that it moves, and the tameh, nobody, no other tameh came, and no sheriff came and brought another tameh on top of it. But still, there is a din of Hesach Adas, that if nobody was watching it, that there's a proof that in time Hesach Adas, since there was a lack of shmirah, he was forbidden from eating that korban. The Gemara had a whole dispute and talking about the nature of the stool of Hesach Adas, whether it's a stool of the Torah Tzofik, it's a Tzofik used for Tzofik Lenitz. Even though it really shouldn't even be a Tzofik, you should follow the Hesach Tzar. That's the chumrah that in Kabbalah, you make more, because of the din of the shmirah. It's true, my side, you need mishmeres by Truman, and Kabbalah, you need mishmeres by Kutchin. They not want to treat that as if it were a Sufik in Nisma. That's one opinion of the Gemara, the Shlokish. And we pass like Rabbi Echanon that the Pesul of Hesach Adas is not only a Pesul of Torah Sufik, but the Pesul of Torah Svada. Since there is such a far such Sufik, maybe this piece of carbon became Nisma, so the Pesul of Torah Svada, even if I leave it to Emmet, even if Papi Shmai Gali never became Tomei, it's a Pesul of Torah Svada because there exists a possibility it became Tomei, so that's already a Pesul of Torah Svada. But because the Apikomi that we're going to eat is going to be Zech in the carbon Tesla, therefore we treat it as if it would have been a carbon Pesach, and the Hesach Adas was possible. That's how the Raivid writes on the Rambam, when the Mishnah says, if everybody fell asleep, there's a Mishnah in the Emet, if everybody fell asleep, and then they wake up in the middle of the Seder, so no one is allowed to eat the carbon Pesach. Why? So the Raivid says, Rashi, the Rajbam has a different shot than the Mishnah. But the Raivid writes on the Rambam, because if everybody fell asleep, so the carbon Pesach became this called the Hesach Adas. And then the din is that it applies to Bizman Hazer, the Gemara says that din applies to Bizman Hazer regarding the Apikomen. So if they started to eat the Apikomen, and then everybody fell asleep, and then they woke up, they're not permitted to continue eating the Apikomen. Why? They treat the Apikomen as if it were a carbon Pesach, so just like the carbon Pesach is Nitzel the Hesach Adas, so you treat the Apikomen as if it's a carbon, it's also Nitzel the Hesach Adas. So you got a problem. So that's why the kid has to be careful to hide it in the place that he knows where he is. So Abchad Zolaychik said, that's why we wrap up the Apikomen, and we put it away in a muffin of the Shumar, because you need Shmir on Karbanus, and you treat the Apikomen as if it were the carbon cycle. It's supposed to be there for the carbon cycle.
Then it's also not gone.
The kid has to put it away in a safe spot where he knows where it is. Not that if a young kid and he puts it himself doesn't remember where it is. He's going to put it in a place where the mice may come and eat it up.
Take another one.
Take another piece. It doesn't have to begin to get the status of the carbon cycle. That's the Mishnah. That if they fell asleep after they began eating Afikomen, then they're not permitted to continue eating. If they fell asleep before they started eating Afikomen, there's no problem. But this is what he has to say, the meaning is that you put away the Afikamen, you wrap it up, but that should be the Shneur. The Mepharshim point out, why do you say at this point, Bashat HaHocha, this year we are here, the Shana Bo, we won't be in Eretz Yisrael, and the Beit HaMikdash. But that is the Tzilah, right? You should say it near to us, the end. Or we say it in Asher Yalon, or Ken Asher HaKele Yadiyen, or what that is over here, why do we mention it here? So some Mepharshim on the Haggadah explain why. And he just made a statement, called this thing, whoever is starving, Yetzir Yechad HaShirit Matzah, which has to be eaten with the Yavah. And called this tree, whoever is not starving should come and eat the carbon pesach, which Yetzir Yisach, which today means the Shiriti Afikamen, which has to be Nechal Ala Tova. You're not supposed to eat the carbon pesach or the Afikamen when you're starving. They say, you have to eat the Zafka Ala Tova. So we invite anybody to come and participate in our Afikamen. So the Shaila is that Bizman Amin, which you wouldn't be able to invite people to come and participate in your carbon pesach because it has to be Nechal Amunuya. And it has to be Mamuna on the carbon pesach before the Shita. So some of us explain that this really poses a problem. Shouldn't we be afraid that maybe the Beit HaMikdash will be built next year, and somebody will remember that he just came in and he ate the Afikoment on me, which is supposed to be a Zechel, the Korban Pesach, he got into the moon on the Korban Pesach, the next year he may barge into someone's home on the El Pesach, and he'll be starving to call this and he ate the Yechel, he'll eat the Matzah, and then he'll go and eat the Korban Pesach, Shalom Amuya. So the Mepharshim, and the Gemara has such examples. The Gemara says that we don't allow eating Chodesh Bizman Azeh, even though it should be mutter to eat Kodesh on Ted Zion Nissen on the Yom Tzilucha Toyma, Yom HaNavah Toyma, because Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, maybe next year there will be HaMikdash, and you won't be allowed to eat Kodesh on that day. So we're afraid that people will remember from this year to next year, and next year the story will be different because of the Yom HaMikdash. So how do we allow it on Pesach night? And we allow such an announcement?
You won't say Halakha.
He may say, but he'll think he can walk into someone's home and eat Kodesh. So the Mepharshim explained that the Hashash only applies by Chadash because even if they build a Beit HaMikdash on Pesach, the Gemara says, and they'll bring the carbon Haimer and the Beit HaMikdash, not all the Jews will be living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Jews will be living all over the world. So the Jews who are all over the world in Golus will remember last year they ate Kodesh on Pesach. And this year they think they can do the same. And it won't be allowed for because when you have a Beit HaMikdash Kayam, you're not permitted to eat the new stool until after Hakrovas carbon Haimer. But when the Beit HaMikdash will be built and they'll be bringing Karbanos, so we say, Hoshaka, this year, Hoshaka, we're all stuck over here in New York. But the Shana Abo, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, we'll all be in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rabbanim will already, everybody will be there. So they'll tell us, if no one is permitted to eat the Karban Pesach, Shalom Aleichem. That's how some of Hoshim interpret that line. That it's an explanation as to how can you allow an invitation for eating Afikamen, which is Echel Pesach, and may mislead people to think that next year when they'll have a Beit HaMikdash, they can just walk in and eat Karban Pesach, Shalom Aleichem. So the explanation is given, no, next year we'll all be there next door, we won't make any mistakes. Chodesh V'Yisuv Nafto, because there is a possibility that the Beit HaMikdash will be built on paper and all the Jews will still be living all over the world. So then you have a problem, those who live all over in Golus, they may make a mistake and eat Chodesh. Maybe believe that in next week, we'll continue with the Abba. Okay.